Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 81, a critical message for all runners about older runners. Can I say that? I bet some people flinched when they heard me say older runners. Well, believe me, I gave it some time, some thought, trying to decide whether to use the word seniors or aging or masters. I like older because it's perfect. I mean, it's ideal. It's the best possible descriptor that I could use. So that's what I'm sticking with. Anyway, I've been planning to devote a podcast to this topic for a while, but researching it and deciding what to include has been a challenge because the difference between a 40-something runner and a 70-something runner is huge, yet they're all basically lumped into older runners or senior runners. And the thing is, the difference between 40-something and 70-something is like the difference between 18 and 48. Think about that. Yet they're both lumped into the same category in many situations. I don't think a 40-something runner seems old at all. After all, I have a daughter who's 38. That certainly tempers my perspective. No, I'm not talking about 40-somethings when I say older, not even close. But this points out a huge problem, the fact that much that is written in magazines, books, and online for and about older runners is referring to 40-somethings or even 50-somethings. And while 50-somethings are older than anyone younger than that, they're hardly old. They're not old at all, at least not the 50-something runners I know, unless they think they are. Age is in the mind of the beholder, right? And that's as true with runners as anyone else. We'll talk about this discussion. In this discussion of older runners, we'll talk about how it's critically important to runners of all ages and about the latest research, examples of the amazing accomplishments of some older runners, the official definition of masters runners, the problems that older runners are likely to face, which of course are nothing compared to the advantages they experience, and what they can and should do in their training to offset those problems. This podcast episode is not just for people who are older runners now, and I put air quotes around older when I say it, but people who will be older runners, and that means you, and you, and you. Think about it. Please think about it. No matter who you are, and no matter how old you are getting older and you will continue to get older chronologically. However, you do not need to age physiologically. You needn't ever be old in that way. You don't have to ever be that stereotypical old person. Not ever. I'd like to share some information from several experts on aging runners. That's what they called it. It just might change your perspective as you look into your future. Here's a quote from Margaret Webb's book, Older, Faster, Stronger: What Women Runners Can Teach Us All About Living Younger, Longer. I'll link to it in the show notes. Masters athletes are proving that as much as 50% of age-related decline, maybe even 70%, is due not to aging, but to deconditioning, losing physical fitness by doing very little. In Gretchen Reynolds' article on the New York Times blog titled For Older Runners, Good News and Bad, she describes research published in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. The University of New Hampshire and other schools studied 51 competitive runners ages 18 to 77. The runners had placed in their age groups in a 5K or 10K, and the purpose of the study was to determine how the running economy of the older runners compared to that of much younger runners. Because, as we all know, older runners do tend to get slower. They were surprised to discover that the older runners were as physiologically economical as even runners half their age. Now, it's important to note, and this is coming from me, that these were runners who trained regularly and placed in their age groups. So, certainly, this would not be the case for all older runners. But it is a critical finding that it is possible for any runner to maintain running economy throughout life. Reynolds goes on to report that the 60 and older age group is the fastest growing age group according to most statistics. How about that? The bad news, she notes, is twofold. One, the older runners were more prone to injuries, and two, they had poor upper body strength and lower body flexibility. The study's lead author, Timothy Quinn, whose study proved all that to be true, he's a professor of exercise science at the University of New Hampshire. And he pointed out that the higher injury rate might be due to the fact that the older runners were still training like they did when they were younger, despite the fact that their bodies take longer to recover from workouts. I see that happening all the time. And yes, I've been guilty of it myself. Trouble is, when you feel good, much like you felt 20 years ago, and you have endorphins racing through your veins, it's easy to make bad training decisions on the fly and do more than you should. And it's easy when planning a training schedule to plan it as you used to when you were younger, or close to that, expecting to get the same results. But that's just not realistic. To counter that loss in strength, Quinn advised runners to make it a point to strength train a few times per week. That New York Times article is full of nuggets. Be sure to check it out. Of course, I will link to it in the show notes. My friend Ann Nolan, a veteran runner, said she had to accept that she would no longer be placing in her age group and would not be setting any more lifetime PRs. She doesn't compare herself to her younger self, but rather to all the people sitting on the couch while she's out training for her half marathons and marathons. I'd say that's the perfect attitude, one that will keep Ann running for many, many, many more years. Knowledge is power, and knowing that being a runner has the potential to entirely change your older years will make all the years in between better, as it will remove most of or all of the anxiety that we feel or you feel about aging. And by the way, if you have any hang up about people knowing your age, here's a tip. Do a triathlon. If you've ever done or watched a triathlon, then you know that every competitor's age is marked on the back of their calf in big, bold, black numbers. Every time you pass someone, or they pass you, each of you will know the other's age. I often wonder what it would be like if they did that in road races. I think I'd actually like that. Do you know what the official terms are for the different older age groups? Even people who are in those age groups sometimes don't know them because they're not really talked about too much. Masters is anyone over 40. Grandmasters is anyone over 50. And senior grandmasters is anyone over 60. Yes, I am a senior grandmaster. That sounds so strange to me. I had never even heard of such a thing until one time in a race I got the award for being the fastest senior grandmaster. I just kept laughing that day because that title, senior grandmaster, sounded so silly, so over the top. It kept reminding me of the title Grand Poobah. I think that came from the Flintstones. Anyway, I thought it was funny. I know a few 70-somethings who feel slighted that there's no title for over 70, and I think they're right. I don't know what it would be, though. Maybe super senior grandmasters? How does that sound? Anyway, being over 70 is very different from being over 60, so I don't think it's right that they're all lumped in together. I think doing that suggests that there aren't very many over 70 runners or that somehow they're not as important. It seems to me that the older you get, the more important you are. Recently, 92-year-old Harrietta Thompson of Charlotte, North Carolina, became the oldest woman to finish a marathon. She did it in 7 hours and 24 minutes, 36 seconds. I hope you got a chance to see the video of her crossing the finish line. If you didn't or haven't, I'm pretty sure you can find that on YouTube. Just do a Google search with her name. What struck me was that she looked so fantastic after the finish. Seriously, she did, like she'd just gotten back from going out to dinner or something. I posted a photograph of her crossing the finish line on the Mojo for Running Facebook page. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, you can still go there and scroll down to find it. Here's something important you should know about her, maybe the most important thing. She started running when she was in her 70s. Now let's look at a man that recently set a record. well, not too recently, it was in 2011. I'm sure I'm going to butcher his name. His first name is spelled F-A-U-J-A, so let's guess it's Fauja. In 2011, Fauja Singh ran the Toronto Waterfront Marathon in 8 hours, 25 minutes, at the age of 101 to become the oldest man to finish a marathon. And he was not last, by the way. He took up running at the age of 89. Yeah, that's what I said, 89. This year, 70-year-old Gunhild Swanson became the oldest woman to complete the Western States 100 race, finishing in 29 hours, 59 minutes, and 55 seconds. Yeah, that's what I said, 100 miles, and she's 70. Actually, quite a few of the older runners do off-road races, ultras, and, well, all the various distances of ultras. I think one reason you find quite a few older runners doing ultras is that they tend to be off-road races, which is easier on the body. But it does take a lot more skill because very often you're jumping over roots and such as that. Seriously, the older runners I know, and now I'm talking about the 70-plus runners I know, could all go into a high school classroom and outrun 90% of the students in that classroom. Probably everybody except the ones on the cross-country team and maybe also the soccer players. A few students might be faster for a very short distance, but even older runners could far, far, far outdistance everyone except those on the cross-country team. And many of the older runners I know, because they're marathoners and ultramarathoners, could definitely do that. And if anyone compared the resting heart rates and their blood work, I'm pretty sure the runners, even though they would be very old, would come out ahead of the sedentary students there too. I wish someone would undertake to do that study. My good friend Velma started running when she was 59, after never, ever having been athletic in her whole life. Yet, she got hooked and ended up doing 7 marathons. Last year, when we ran the St. Augustine Half Marathon together, she got the award for being the oldest female finisher, earning her a beautiful silver chalice engraved with the words, Fountain of Youth. Nice. I do think running probably is the fountain of youth. Another one of my friends, Margaret Connor, also a veteran runner, age 75, has done 3 half marathons already this year, and it's August as I record this, and she's got 3 more on her agenda. Margaret offers this advice. You have to do what you always did as a runner, and that's to listen to your body. We do lose strength as we age, naturally, but we need to try to preserve our body. Heart, blood vessel function, and muscles, tendons, joints, organs, and so on. By diet, rest, and sensible training, to keep it going as long as one is able. We all age differently. I'm still trying to figure out the answers. Desire to run plays a big part in my running. And here's a piece of advice from a description of something that one of my other good friends has done recently. Frank Van Aken is a retired school principal, age 84. His most recent race was a 5K on the 4th of July. I did that race too. The temperature was in the upper 80s with typical Florida humidity. Yet, Frank finished in 37 minutes and 12 seconds, ahead of 90 people, all younger, and most of them were more than 20 years younger. Let's look at some stats. In 2014, what percentage of half marathon finishers do you think were over 40? 42%. And that's up from 39% in 2009. I expect that trend will continue. I wish I could find the stats for over 50, over 60, and over 70, but that stat is the best I can do, which points out a problem. No one seems to be paying much attention to the older age groups, and I think that needs to change. By that, I mean talking about how this age group should be modifying their running training and racing to appropriately and optimally adjust for aging. Look at all the websites that publish racing schedules. You'll find plans for every distance and different plans for first-time marathoners and plans for people trying to qualify for Boston. But what you won't see is a different plan for people over 50 or over 60 or over 70. And I, for one, believe this is a shame and an omission because people do need to train differently. I did find articles about training for master's runners, but then they were talking about 40-year-olds. Two words, come on. Pay attention to all those runners in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. I did a race, an inaugural half marathon, a couple of years ago, and the oldest age group they had awards for, wait for it, was 45 to 49. What? Need I point out that the race director was very young, like in his early 20s? And yes, I did give him a piece of my mind. And when you look at the recommended exercises on some of the popular online running magazines, you'll find recommended exercises and stretches that are just too much, too extreme for runners in that age group. I've seen people get hurt from doing exercises that were actually recommended to keep people from getting injured. They're just not realistic for half the people out there, certainly not for anybody over 40, certainly not for the people over 50 and 60, unless they're extremely limber and already fit to start with. Running is one of the few sports in which people can continue to do quite well into their 60s and, yes, 70s. If you look at the results at any larger race, there are always 70-somethings who are faster than half of the runners in the 30 to 34 and 35 to 39 age groups. I suspect if you're listening to this and you're that age or younger, you might not realize that because who in that age group, in those younger age groups, ever checks the results for the older age groups? Probably not many, but some of you may know older runners and have experienced them impressively whizzing past you in a race. I've seen 70-somethings zoom across that finish line ahead of half of the race finishers. Of course, they're the exception, but my point is that if you're younger, one thing you can look forward to is maintaining most of your fitness for the rest of your life, as long as you don't stop running. Fortunately, one thing that comes with a few more years is also more wisdom. At any given time, I have several friends who are sidelined by some injury, but for the most part, they tend to handle it much better than younger runners, more easily taking it in stride, maybe because they've usually been through it at least a few times before. I get to talking to everyone about running, no matter where I go. Food servers, baristas, hairstylists, cashiers, bank tellers, you name it. Maybe that's because I'm usually wearing either my own club's running shirt or a Mojo for Running shirt or a shirt from a race. People always want to talk about running, and so often they'll say to me, I'm afraid that if I start running, it would hurt my knees. I cannot express how much I hate to hear that. It's been completely disproven. For there are people who have bad knees when they run, but most of the people either are running with very poor form, heel striking and injuring their knees because they've got their legs locked out, or they have some issue from prior in their life, very often a prior sports injury, and when they start running, it aggravates the sports injury. I've said it before, almost always when I work with people who have problems with their knees, we can get to a point where their knees don't give them trouble anymore. But certainly, it's been proven again and again that running does not damage your knees. It's actually good for your joints. I've cited this study before, but I'll never stop mentioning it. Dr. James Fries, professor emeritus at Stanford, studied 500 marathon runners from age 50 for 20 years. The reason for the study was that he wanted to prove that running didn't ruin your knees, as was commonly thought. His research proved that to be true. The runners had fewer than half as many knee replacements as the control group, but even more important, they fared far, far better in every area that was evaluated. They had half the mortality rate, and they were doing better in every single quality of life issue when compared with the control group. And by that time, 20 years later, They were running far fewer miles per week, yet they were still exhibiting much better health than the control group. I'll link to that article in the show notes. One more thing. I want to quote Dr. Fries. He said, "Exercise is the one thing that has been found to reverse all five markers of aging." The older we get, the faster we tend to lose fitness when we take time off. I think we just have to learn to live with that. It's a bummer. But you know, you have to keep everything in perspective. If we can get back to running after time off, then life is good. Another problem is that we get injured more easily, as I mentioned. Hopefully, we have more wisdom than in younger years, and this is when we have to apply it. We have to accept that the older we are, the more easily our bodies can be broken. That requires us to exercise great judgment on a daily basis. If something hurts even a tiny bit, we can't afford to take a chance. The one thing we can always do safely is to take a day or two off. It's hard to do, but the alternative is much worse. We always must think of the big picture, that we want to keep running for the rest of our days, all of them. A few days off now and then is not a steep price to pay for the luxury of extending middle age for the rest of our lives. Several specific problems for older runners are, and I've basically covered most of these already, 1, shortened strides, 2, more time needed to recover, 3, more easily injured, 4, less muscle mass, 5, less flexible. We've already discussed most of that, but let me expand on how you can reverse the effects of shortened strides, which may be the single biggest contributing factor to older runners getting slower. 1, one of the most common effects of aging is that our strides get naturally shorter. So, I'm sorry, that wasn't number 1. Here's number 1. Stretch a lot, but do stretch a lot, but only, as I always say, when you're warmed up. I believe taking care to only stretch when you're warmed up is even more important the older you get. I suggest doing a Google search to find stretches that help with hip flexibility. Sometimes they're also called hip openers. But be careful. Don't do a lot of new stretches one day. You might find that the next day you can barely walk because you have a backache. Do 1 new stretch each time and make sure that doesn't bother you. Sometimes a stretch will cause somebody to have aches and pains elsewhere. If that's the case, don't do that stretch anymore. There are plenty of options of other stretches. Evaluate the ones you find and do the ones that are most gentle, that help you and don't hurt you. Run uphills. In fact, run downhills too. Hill work helps to counter the shorter strides that come with aging. You'll find that if you run hills just once a week, it will help with this a lot. Work to keep your glutes strong. They're the muscles you use to drive you forward. They're the biggest muscles of your body. So that will help you to maintain or to regain longer strides. See a chiropractor and explain that you need him or her to help you keep your hips loosed, keep your whole body working well. Get deep tissue massages regularly. Yes, I know I say this a lot, but I believe in it. I think it makes a difference. And one more thing, always warm up more than you used to. Warming up will help you as you try to increase your stride length. Now, be careful when you're trying to get back to your old stride length. You don't want to reach out too far with your heel because then, of course, you will be overstriding. What you're trying to do is get your hips to open up more so the top part of your legs can swing apart wider. You don't want to try to get longer strides by reaching out with your foot. You don't want that to happen. That's overstriding, and then that can lead to injuries and all other kinds of problems. So where we're looking at it is trying to get the hips looser and get them so that they'll work more like they did when you were younger. Another thing to think about, besides working on maintaining stride length, older runners need to give themselves time between intense workouts, more time. But by all means, if you're healthy, do not give up on those hard workouts. You still need time, need them, and they will pay off in a big way. They will go a long way towards countering the effects of aging. Research is showing that high-intensity training will pay huge benefits to older runners. Just don't do it too often. Give yourself time to recover. But if you do train hard with, I would say, 1 intense workout per week, maybe 2, you'll see huge benefits. Or maybe you do 2 intense workouts 1 week, and then the next week you do one intense workout or one speed workout. That way you're backing off from probably what you did when you were younger, but you're still including those high intensity speed workouts. Strength train. One of the best ways to maintain your running fitness and prevent injuries is to keep all of your muscles strong, all of them, and pay special attention to your core and your upper body. Think about it. If you lose your strength in your upper body, you can't pump your arms well. You can't accomplish as much. If you want to have good movement and flexibility with your lower body, then you need to have it with your upper body as well. So you need a strong core, and you need the muscles in your arms and shoulders to be strong as well. Cross train. As you age, it makes sense to avoid high mileage, but sometimes you can still get most of the advantages of high mileage by putting in time on a bike or an elliptical trainer or in the pool. Pool running is wonderful. See a physician for regular checkups and get a cardio workup at least once in a while. Get your blood work done. Make sure everything is where it needs to be. You don't want to just get everything within range either. You know, when they work up those charts for what's within range, they're including a lot of people that aren't in great physical condition. And what you want as an athlete and as somebody who wants to be extremely healthy, not just healthy enough, you want everything in your blood work to be ideal. So tell your doctor that. Make sure that's what he or she is helping you to achieve. Eat right. Recent research is showing that nutrition might just be the closest thing to the fountain of youth. I would say it's the second closest thing. Endurance exercise would be number one. Eating properly would be number two. Don't ignore your gut either. Research is now starting to reveal the importance of gut health. Do your homework. Eat well. I hope you're seeing a trend here, and that is that there are ways of combating even the negatives of getting older, and that's what matters most. If you're old enough that you consider yourself an older runner, remember, you're the same person you've always been, just a little older. If you're still young, chronologically, I hope this podcast will provide you with a bit of insight to help you enjoy the best possible mental attitude about running and about your life as you get older. Now, a bit of exciting news about older runners. A recent study in Australia found that ultra-marathon running can increase your life expectancy by 16 years. That's just about it. I do have some quotes for you, several really great ones, but I want to stop here for a moment and thank those people who have been commenting on the Facebook wall and messaging me via Facebook. I love interacting with you, and congratulations to the people who have recently joined my Walk to Run and First 5K coaching programs. I've got a surge of new members lately, and I'm just loving it. I've got a bunch of shout-outs to the people who've been commenting on the Mojo for Running Facebook wall, but since this episode is running long, I'll have to save them for the next one. But please, keep them coming, and keep your questions and suggestions coming as well. Now, I have some quotes for you, but one other thing. The one thing that you can do that really, really helps this podcast would be to go to iTunes, find this podcast, and review it. Even if you don't write a review, and if you do, it could be just one sentence, but you don't even have to do that. You could just click a number of stars, and that helps to move this podcast up higher in the ratings. I think we're number 8 or number 9 right now, and I check it every day, and when we move up by a spot, I'm just ecstatic. This podcast is now downloaded about 5,000 times each week. That's outstanding, and I would love to see it reach even more people. Now, the quotes. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. That's from George Bernard Shaw. Live like you don't know how old you are. I would say run the same way. I don't mean run with reckless abandon. I mean, do what you should always do. Run by feel. Listen to your body. Do what it says. Hold back when it asks you to. and go full speed ahead when it's happy. Rest when it's tired. Be good to it, and it'll be good to you.